Welcome to Tzarati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Yudalid, Chapter 14. In the last perek, we started to see why the people in Galus and Yerushalayim are confused and why Yechezkel has been fighting an uphill battle to get people to listen to him. There are lots of opinions about Galus. The Nevi'e Sheker who promote idol worship and a false sense of security are very convincing, and the people have allowed themselves to become convinced. This perek is a continuation of that discussion about Nevi'e Sheker and poor leadership. The language in the psukim is very challenging. The antecedents are ambiguous, and the different mefarshim translate the psukim differently. I'm going to take one approach, but there will be others. In this perek, a group of Ziknei Yisrael, leaders of the community, come to have a chat with Yechezkel. Some had already gone to hear what the Nevi'e Sheker had to say. Now they want assurances and to hedge their bets by talking to Yechezkel too. They most definitely do not plan to be completely loyal to Yechezkel. As they are coming, Hashem prepares Yechezkel by telling him that they are insincere and duplicitous. He directs his next nevuah toward their behavior. The second half of the parak discusses a completely different concept. It discusses what happens when Hashem brings judgment to the world and how the tzaddikim will live through this judgment and who they can save through their righteousness. It brings the example of three tzaddikim, Noach, Iyov, and Daniel, and how they were not able to save their own children from harm, and they would not have been able to save any of their children from harm in any other generation either. Hashem lets the people know that in this generation, during the Charban, Hashem will make an exception to this rule and allow unworthy people to be saved during times of judgment. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayavo'u Eli Anashim Mizikne Yisrael Vayeshvu Lefanai. Then came a certain groups of elders of Israel to me, and they sat before me. In Prakim Ches through Yud Aleph, 8 through 11, we know that Yechezkel sat with the group of Zakenim, elders, and the encounter was supportive and friendly. That is not the tone in this parak. In earlier Prakim, the Zakenim are called Zikne Yehuda. They share the values of Yechezkel. Here, they are called Zakenim from Israel. The pasuk starts with the word vayavo, and they came, in singular. These details show us that this group is different than the first group. They come as a unit with a spokesperson. They are adversarial and come to meet Yechezkel in a professional, detached way. They are not seeking to learn from him, but to negotiate with him or to assess him. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Before the men come in, Hashem tells Yechezkel not to judge them by their external appearance. Though they may look like sincere petitioners, they are not. Underneath their pious demeanor, they believe in idols, serve them, and convince others to do the same. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Hanashim ha'ela ha'elu gilulehem al dibam. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their mind. Umichshal avanim nasnu nochach pneihem. And they have put a stumbling block of their sins before their faces. Ha'ida rosh ida reish lahem? Should I be inquired of them at all? Hashem tells Yechezkel that these men are fully corrupted by their theology. They not only serve idols, but have changed their outlook to incorporate idol worship into their worldview. They have brought their Yilulehem al-Libam. They are always looking for opportunities to further their idol worship. It is always Nochach Pneihem in front of their face. Hashem asks, should he fulfill their requests like they are in seeking Yechezkel's advice or tefilos by responding to what they are saying, or should he respond to the deeper level of who they truly are? Pasuk Dalud, verse 4, Hashem tells Yechezkel to inform his visitors that as a policy, if a person serves idols or even thinks about idols and then voluntarily comes to a Navi because of his spiritual role, Hashem will answer them, not based on what they want or their externals, but based on how they act and think in their private spiritual lives. Since it is as if they are coming with their idols, then it is clear that they are not coming sincerely, but to have a debate. Hashem will respond in some fashion to these overtures, as he says in Pasuk Hei, verse 5. And the reason he will do this is so that he pulls back the lay people of the community from the influence of these leaders. L'man tfos es beis Yisrael bilibam, that I may take the house of Israel in their hearts. The Gemara looks at these psukim and how Hashem is saying that he needs to reconnect to Bnei Yisrael's heart, and learns from here that the sin of Avodah Zarah is different than all other sins. If a person thinks about doing something wrong, their thoughts are not punishable unless they have the ability to act. Even if they want to act and are prevented from acting, Hashem doesn't consider it as if they've done the sin. With Avodah Zarah, even thoughts are considered idol worship. They don't need to practice idol worship to be considered idol worshippers. How will Hashem pull back the nation from the grips of these corrupt leaders? He has Yechezkel tell them to do tshuva themselves and to encourage their wives and children to do tshuva as well. In Psukim Zayin and Ches, verses 7 and 8, Hashem re-emphasizes that a person can't come to a Navi with dual loyalty. They will be punished, and these punishments will make them an example for others of how people should act and who they do not want to be like now or in the future. The parak continues along this theme in Psukim Tes 3 at Aleph, verses 9 through 11, about the punishment of the Navi Sheker. In these psukim, the word Navi refers to a Navi Sheker. The parak continues in Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Va'navi ki yifute v'diber davar, and if a prophet is seduced and he speaks a word, ani Hashem pitesi est hanaviahu, it is I, Hashem, who seduced this prophet. Vanatisi es yadi alav, I will stretch my hand against him, vishmarativ mitoch ami Yisrael, and destroy him from among my people. How is this fair? It sounds like Hashem is trapping unwitting Nevi'im. The Pasuk says that the Navi is seduced, and it is Hashem who is seducing him to speak falsely. The Radak explains that this refers to people who project the image of being righteous and God-fearing, but they actually sin privately. Hashem allows them, or according to some, causes them to share false nevuos that they are doing anyways, publicly, so that they will be revealed for who they truly are, and they will then be rejected by the masses. Both those who are seeking false nevuah and those who are saying false nevuah will be held equally culpable when they are revealed. Like many other sections of prophecy in Yechezkel, this section ends with why Hashem is doing this. Hashem will punish the Nevi'ei Sheker and those who seek their counsel, so it will cause others to stop sinning. They will know Hashem punishes bad, rewards good, and they will make Hashem their God so that he may save them. The parak now turns to an entirely different topic, unrelated to the first half of the parak. Yechezkel explores what happens in the time of judgment to tzaddikim. How far does their influence on others extend? Can they save others from judgment? Can they save themselves? This section has two parts. The first, Yod Beis through Chaf, 12 through 20, deals with the fact that three prototypical tzaddikim living in a time of judgment couldn't save those around them from punishment. In Psukim Chaf Aleph through Chaf Gimel, verses 21 through 23, Yechezkel says that despite this reality, that in the time of this judgment, people who are unworthy will be saved, even though generally only tzaddikim are saved when the Midas Hadin is present. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Ben Adam, Eretz ki sechatel li limol mal. Son of man, when the land sins against me, to sin grievously. These psukim are talking about a time of judgment when Hashem begins to punish for very extreme sins. V'shavarti lo mat lechem, v'hishlachti ba ra'av, v'hichrati mimeno adamu behema. I will break the staff of bread, I will send a famine and cut off man and beast. This pasuk is talking about the extreme punishment of famine, which is appropriate in a time when there are extreme sins. The psukim now turn to three individuals who lived in a world that fit the description of a world that was deserving extreme punishment. Their land had been flourishing, then they lived through its destruction, and then they saw its eventual rebuilding in a diminished, less perfect form. The three men are Noach, Iov, and Daniel. Noach lived in a time when there was chamas, injustice. Hashem told him that he would destroy the world, and so Noach built a teva. Everyone in the world died except for his three sons, their wives, and Noach's wife. When he left the teva, he became party to a rebuilt world that was less perfect than it had been before. Iov was a prominent man with a distinguished family. He lost everything, his children, his money, his health, and then he rebuilt his life with new sons and daughters. Daniel was a scholar. He lived in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. He was exiled, saw the Beit HaMikdash destroyed, and then he returned to Israel where he saw the second temple rebuilt. Each of these men lived during a time of great destruction. Though they were great, they could not save those around them. The Psukim then list additional forms of punishment and how this truth of not being able to save one's family during the time of judgment holds true. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, if there would be wild animals. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, if there would be a sword in battle. Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19, if there would be a plague. These three men would not have been able to save their children, and they alone would have been saved because of their righteous deeds. In contrast, in Yerushalayim, there will be all four kinds of punishments at once. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Ah, ki arbas shevatai haraim cherer v'ra'a v'chaya ra'a v'dever, shilachti el Yerushalayim. These four evil judgments, the sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague, I will send against Yerushalayim. By logic, and by the rules of reward and punishment that have been outlined in the parak so far, no one should survive these punishments, especially since there were no righteous people in Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, we learn, V'hinei nosra ba'pleita hamutzaim banim uvanos. See, a surviving remnant is left, who are brought out sons and daughters. Despite the overwhelming odds against them, Hashem is saving people who will join those in Galus and Bavel already. Chazal say that the words sons and daughters in this Pasuk is strange. In the Navi so far, we have seen people referred to by their age as young or old. Everyone, by definition, is someone's son or daughter. So how is Hashem bringing out sons or daughters? After all, these people aren't related to the people living in Bavel who they're being brought out to. So they're not sons and daughters. Why are they being called sons and daughters? Rather, Chazal read the word hamutzaim, that are brought out, which is passive, to be hamotzim, that they will bring out. These individuals are saved, although they don't deserve it, and it goes against the mitzvah hadin present at this time, so that there can be a next generation. These individuals are not themselves righteous and should have been included in those killed. However, they were saved for the future of the Jewish people. These facts will serve as a continued source of consolation for the nation after witnessing the horrors. V'nichamu eschem ki sir'u esdarkam ves elilosam, and they will comfort you when you see their way and how they act. The Das Sofrim explains that the nation in Bavel will be comforted by the presence of these individuals because those individuals themselves will acknowledge the justice of Hashem's actions based on what they had done wrong. In addition, after meeting these people, everyone will understand that the nation in Yerushalayim indeed deserved their punishments. They will see that the people were coarse and unworthy. With this recognition, it will cause them to change their thinking, and they will realize, Yedatem ki lo chinam asisi es kol asher asisi va. You will know what I did was not for nothing that I did it. This perek had two main themes. The first was how Hashem will deal with people and Nevi'im who portrayed themselves as righteous, but are inwardly serving Avodah Zarah. This was prompted by a visit to Yechezkel by such individuals who came with insincere motivations to seek Yechezkel's thoughts. They will be punished to reveal their true intentions and to help those who are being convinced by externals to rid themselves of Avodah Zarah and connect to Hashem. Second, the Perek talked about how punishment works for tzaddikim in the time of judgment. Their merits only extend to themselves and do not save their children. This will not apply at the time of the Chorban. Hashem will save unworthy individuals so they will have children who build the nation, and so that when others meet these people, they will be able to see through their behaviors and actions that the punishment was indeed warranted. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.